Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. This is going to be such a treat because we have in studio with us two of my favorite historians. Heidi Langenfeld is here and Spencer Johnson, and we are going to dig into the rich history of Todd Field. I know we take it for granted about Todd Field, but we don't really know the history of it or really a lot of the details, so I'm very excited to chat it up with these two. How have you been?
Good.
Good, yeah, really good.
So this was fun for you to dig into yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I had looked at some of this history before, but this time I looked at it differently. And each time you look, you see something different.
Yeah, something
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you both are very involved in history and the Hastings Pioneer Room, which is so nice at City Hall. Is that a treasure trove of information?
You bet.
Yeah, it's a hidden treasure. It's open Mondays and Wednesdays.
9:30 to 4.
Yeah, 9:30, mm-hmm. Yeah. City Hall closes at 4, so there's always a group of people there to help. So many files on families, houses, events, town. Plus, it's a really cool building to go into a City Hall. And when you go into the Pioneer Room, what was it originally?
That was a treasurer's office. And so the vault is where we keep all of our treasures, which is very appropriate, don't you think?
Heidi's desk is in the vault because she's a treasure too.
She is a treasure. I think you both are treasures. Well, let's start out with Todd Field. It is so iconic. And I have to tell you that when people here were from Hastings, people always talk about the wonderful bowl, the wonderful field that we have. It really is special, isn't it? So I'm very anxious to hear the history. So take it away.
So I like how you said we're going to dig into this because originally that area started out as a quarry. And when you look at the 1867 map of that spot, there's just a field there. So I'm not quite sure what that quarry looked like originally. But a lot of the first houses here, the foundations would be limestone and they'd be hand cut and things like that. So started out as a quarry, and eventually there was like a bowl there because so they had dug stone out. Some of the research mentions that farmers use it for watering their cattle, and then unfortunately became an unofficial city dump. It was a trash pit, which is not unusual for quarries like things like that.
Okay.
Well, one thing I want to say too is that these days now we call it McNamara Stadium and Todd Field, and we'll get back to what that really means. It's kind of a series of important things. So in the 1930s, you know, during the Depression, the road out, what's Highway 55 now, was in 1933 was paved from Hastings to Pine Bend. And then it's about the same time that Roadside Park was being developed. The public schools took over the title on that property. There's tax delinquent land between 10th and 11th.
And why did they do that, do you think?
Well, they were looking for something to build.
For a field.
A field.
And because before that, they were playing their games out at what they call the Asylum Field.
Sure.
Which was out by the state hospital.
Okay.
So they wanted a place for the school. And
sure.
That was a perfect location.
Yeah,
the school kitty corner across the street.
Yeah, it was kitty corner across the street where Schoolhouse Square is now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it looked different. The school looked different, but there's been schools there for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it was close. So they took that, and they needed to raise some funds for this, and it was kind of tricky. But local businessmen pitched in, including Irving Todd, who originally put in $500. Now, Irving Todd was a newspaper man. He came to Prescott in the 1850s as a young man. He's in his 20s, works for Prescott Paper.
Yeah, well, so Irving Todd Jr., who was the person that was connected with Todd Field, it was his father who started the Hastings Gazette. And so he came here early on from Prescott, like Spence said, and developed the newspaper through a series of things. That's a different story entirely, so we won't go into that too much. But he was a citizen and had been here a long time. So when Irving Todd Jr., his son, who had taken over the paper, donated the $500, he did that because he said he wanted their name on this field, because it was like naming rights with the money he donated.
And $500 was a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So he was still living in Prescott?
No.
His father had moved to Hastings and started the Hastings Gazette.
Oh, okay.
In the 1860s.
Wow.
He started with a different paper first, and the Conservator, Harrison Benjamin, who is the treasure trove, and I hope you can have him on here someday. He has some of those newspapers at his house.
Wow.
But they were connected to the Todd family. But anyway.
Did the Todd boy, and by boy, I mean young man.
The son.
Did he go to high school here?
Well, I'm sure he did, yes. Yeah, he
yeah.
did. He did, yes.
So that would really be a positive thing.
Because we have the pictures of his graduation in 1890.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a great class that graduated that year.
Wow.
Lots of good people, but we could digress too far.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
Interesting when you look at these lists, like even those football lists we talked about, that you start seeing names of places, buildings, streets in town. and then putting that all together.
Wow.
You know, oh, yeah. Okay. No. So anyway, money was raised by businessmen, including Irving Todd. The Milwaukee Railroad donated carloads of cinders for a running track. So at that time, the trains were steam trains, and they would take the cinders out of the steam engines when they were done and use them for lots of things, including along the tracks. But, you know, you run on these cinders. And so that was kind of a cool little story. Some of the funds came from the State Emergency Administration. Remember that the Depression was going on, so there's all these programs to help. And the seats were built by the WPA, and there's a sign on the side of the building, you know, that when they did the kind of the restoration in about 2000, they found some, one of the signs had been tucked away, and some of that stuff starts coming up.
So what we see now, is that original, those
no.
seats? Okay.
Not the metal ones.
They're covered up.
Of course.
They're
yeah.
all
okay.
covered up, but they're there. They're underneath what they built.
Yeah. That's so cool.
But they were crumbling and not yeah. so safe to walk on.
For sure.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, there was a point where the state was looking to make sure that bleachers in places like schools and, you know, were safe. Mm-hmm. There were some issues with that, and then they needed to be up, they brought up to code. So then they right. started looking at a bigger picture. So if we need to bring these up to code, what else should we be doing? Knowing full well that they're getting ready to build a new high school, which we have, and then the old middle school was going to be torn down and shifted to the high school that's over on 11th.
On Pine Street.
On Pine Street, yep. So, you know, a lot of moving parts here, but same thing at the very beginning. Well, we're developing a park here. Somebody wants to build some tennis courts. Let's get the school to get some kind of a football field that's closer.
And this was all during the 30s.
Correct. Yeah.
It started with, in 1932 is when they first
wow.
got yeah. the money, the $500 to start the ball rolling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dakota
yeah.
County came in, weighed in there some way, too. I
yeah, there was something
programmed
about
them.
Some of their road graders and, you know.
Yeah.
So people all pitched in. It was mm-hmm. a community effort. The estimated cost in 1935 was about $75,000. Now, I don't know what that would equate to today, but it would be a lot. In 1939, there was a group called the Hastings Athletic Club, which I think was more of a fundraising group. I don't know. They raised money for the lights. So finally, in the 1930s, they could have night games. And the first game played there, November 9th, 1934, between Hastings and I think it was Cannon Falls.
It was Cannon Falls.
Yeah. And then the first game under lights was Hastings versus Stillwater. And you were telling me that at that time we weren't the Hastings Raiders.
No, they called it the Hastings Blue and Gold. And according to, of course, our dear friend Dick Darso, who wrote the Bible
yeah.
on Hastings a little bit, he talks about that in his report about the background of Todd Field. And he said that the Blue and Gold beat the Cannon Falls team.
So I wonder when we became the Raiders.
Well, that story is around there. I know people were researching that a while ago, but I don't yeah. remember exactly when. Because, you know, the Raiders were raccoons that
yes.
come at night. And so that was the that was the logo, was the raccoon face.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then now it's been changed, I think, to like a pirate.
It's a pirate.
Pirate, yeah.
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 yeah. Both are Raiders in their yeah. own.
So each thing that we talk about here, Mo, we could have a whole show
I know.
About.
I agree
we?
With you, but
and
this the, is so
Spencer
fascinating.
Spencer and I, it's dangerous to have us here.
yeah. So a fun story is, you know, back in the 30s, things were done differently than they are today. Funds were rough. There was not a lot of money for athletics. So when there was an away game, businessmen would volunteer to transport the players to games in their cars.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give yeah. everybody rides. And if there
That's
was...
when Ken Eddy and those names came up. They would take the kids up
wow.
so they could go to the away games.
Yeah. But if they won the game, they would usually stop for treats somewhere. So that's kind of fun.
So no school busing?
No.
Not that time.
No.
No.
No. They had to walk uphill both ways to get to Todd Field.
yeah.
So speaking to get to Todd Field, the underpass, which is really kind of a cool concept.
The tunnel.
The tunnel. Yes.
So that is not folklore. That is a real thing.
Oh, it's there.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. It's there. I mean, when I worked at the middle school that was torn down not
yes.
that long ago, there was a door to it. And I never went in there. And I was, oh, I got to go in that door. But I was, you know, Louis Plavelle, I see Louis Plavelle
oh.
at the YMCA all the time.
Yeah.
He's still a dynamo.
Yeah, he is.
And I was a little afraid of him when I was a new teacher because he was like a Marine.
We had a crew cut, yeah.
Oh, he still does. But anyway, I like, oh, I got to figure out how to get in that tunnel. I just want to see that.
Yeah.
And I was afraid to ask him. And then it was too late after a while.
You should have him on here, too.
Yeah, oh,
he's
yeah.
wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, about 1936, that was built. The underpass was built. And as I was digging around, you know, Heidi dug around, too. Dick Darso, again, he had something like there was some sort of a sign that just said the class of 1937 that seemed like it was cemented over or covered over, and then it was uncovered. And so it was right at where the tunnel came through on the Todd
Stadium
Field
side. Yeah. Yes. And so it's a really neat sign, but they just covered it up. They left it there and covered it up when they closed up the tunnel in 1980, according to Dick's report.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing that's interesting about the tunnel that I thought was fun, because, you know, at the same time that this Todd Field project was going on, the post office, our current post office, was being built. And in order to build that, they had to tear down two buildings. One of them was Carpen's Stoneworks business that he did for the Mark, you know, he did the cemetery stones.
Yes.
And that was moved on to Vermilion Street. Well, I love this because I like the reuse of products or, you know, buildings and parts of buildings. And so some of those stones that were removed when his building was moved at that point were brought over here, and they're used in the tunnel as part of the construction of that tunnel.
Wow.
And the WPA did all that work, and they were somehow connected with the post office work. So, I mean, it's so many things tie together.
So the WPA, help me with that.
Works Projects Administration.
Yes, it's not We Poke Along. No. I'm just kidding.
Guys standing around with shovels.
So who were those folks?
That was one of Roosevelt's programs in the 1930s to put people back to work. Mm-hmm. And you go to state parks and other parks, museums a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
They did these projects where they're building things and they put people back to work
all
over the country.
And it really did help our economy.
Oh, it did. It helped in many ways. Eugene Casserly was at WPA, working with the WPA, and was in charge of the Todd Field project.
And there were several programs. You know, the CCC was the Civilian Conservation Corps. Was that mostly teenagers?
I think it was younger men.
Yeah, younger men. A lot of times there were younger men that had left the farm because they didn't have enough food for them. And so they joined the CCC, and a lot of these were camps up northern Minnesota, all over the country really, but rural areas. And they would do projects, roads, build bridges, walls, all kinds of things like that. So
obviously the tunnel became irrelevant because, and it probably got dangerous. You mentioned it closed in 1980,
right.
But the school had moved, the high school had already moved to where the current middle school is. And is that the reason why it closed then?
I believe that was
okay.
Because they didn't need it anymore.
Yeah, they don't need it
middle
anymore.
Middle school is not using it as much as the high school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an interesting, you know, I taught the middle school, and Todd Field was like, we can't send the middle school kids over there for gym class. It would have been practical for them to go there.
For sure.
But no, because we need to keep that in good shape. So the kids for a while had to hike over to Kennedy, you know, during gym class and go back behind Kennedy and do the outdoor
sports. So they
sports.
Were very protective of the field.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting,
because in the 1950s, some of my classmates remember going through there to have gym, mostly the boys, to have gym class over on the field. So I guess the boys didn't wreck it as much as the girls, but you know those girls.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So when was the big remodel?
They did one in the 1970s, and I don't know that much about that, but about 2000, again, they were looking at, the state was looking at making sure that bleachers and places like that were up to code. So they really wanted to bring things up to code. And Grouse Construction was involved. It cost over $1 million. And the goals were to bring the bleachers up to code, new bleachers on the north end, seating closer to the field, a new press box, the track was removed, home and visitors lockers were built kind of in there. Knowing that the new school, high school, would be built and the old building would be torn down, they wanted to fix it up, get it ready.
They needed locker rooms, too.
And they needed locker rooms.
Before they had those in the school.
For sure.
So now these kids are coming over. Yeah. But they built that new wall that you see on the north side on 10th Street there. And I'm hoping that the old wall is back there somewhere, because that, I think, is a stone wall that was there. And I've never been in there, so I don't know, but I read about the locker rooms, which makes sense. They have for the away and the home teams. So that was all part of that.
You know, some of that stone looks a lot like the stone that is running up, what would it be, one of those streets.
Yeah. I always thought that was interesting, those two little walls that go up there.
Yes.
That was Sieben property.
Yes.
So in 2000 is when they decided to name it McNamara Stadium.
After Pinky McNamara.
After Pinky McNamara, who was a 1950 high school grad, big football star.
Here and at the U.
Yes, here and at the U, yeah. Go ahead. I don't know that much about him.
Well, just that he was very, very successful in his career and in what he did in his business life. of course, football was a big part of his past life, his youth. And so he gave the major portion of that amount that they used at that time. And we're really fortunate because it extended the life of that great place we've got in Hastings. Like you said, Mo, always know it.
Yeah, it's iconic. Is there a chance that it will ever go away, do you think? I know Highway 61 is being redone.
Well, I hope not, but we can't ever say that for sure.
Yeah, never say
but,
never, but I doubt
there's a lot of value to keeping it. I mean, for the tradition and historic and uniqueness of it. There's a lot of concern, of course, when you drive on Vermilion Street there, you can see that wall is really challenged because that's the original WPA wall that was built there almost 100 years ago.
And
now.
That one they're going
and
to
that
redo.
And that big, heavy fence is up there. So that they are having, you know, they're already planning when they're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really is a beautiful spot. Any last final thoughts?
Oh, I just wanted to say that I was fortunate to be in high school because I went away to boarding school most of the time. But when I came home, one of the best things that I remembered was going to a football game and seeing the band and that and the football players would come running out of that tunnel onto the field. I mean, that was just so...
For sure.
It was a marvelous feeling. I get goosebumps when I talk about it. And I wasn't a big part of that because I wasn't on it, you know, in the band or cheerleading. It'd be cool to have some of those history, you know, memories sometime because... What a great place to grow up and go to school and experience that.
Right. And it's just, it's the middle of our town, and it really is something, especially on a Friday night when the stands are packed and, you know, you see
everybody's
people.
Everybody's yelling.
Yes, and you see cars beeping and, you know, it really is a cool, cool place.
So that
place.
Tunnel was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you telling us about the history of Todd Field, and it really is something that Hastings should be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great to see both of you. Thank you so much.
Mo.
We
thank
really
you.
Appreciate
us
it.
Come here and regale you with the stories.
Oh, I love it. We want to say thank you to Heidi Langenfeld and Spencer Johnson. And again, Todd Field, what a wonderful, rich history. And we're so happy that that is part of our Hastings community. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.